You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're live online at kpcg.fm. And there's a live link there at thetrumpet.com as well. Thanks for joining us on Trumpet Radio Live, the weekend edition. Dwight Falk and Abraham Blondeau with you here today. And a little bit of a thunderstorm started here on Friday morning. Anyway, we were kind of laughing about that because we all check our weather apps, and it was saying it was sunny and it was pouring rain. And it was saying it was sunny and there would be no rain for the next several weeks. And then it started raining, and then 5 minutes later it said, oh, by the way, it's raining and it's going to rain every day for the next 2 weeks. They can't make up their mind.
Yeah, one extreme to the other. Because I pulled it out, and it was supposed to be sunny when there was lightning flashes within the mile of the studio. And but it changed its mind very quickly once it realized it was wrong. So
the app, it errs on the side of caution. It doesn't tell you. It tells you what happened 5 minutes ago.
Right.
So
yeah.
In case you didn't know. Lots to talk about on today's program. Get to some of the major headlines. Also preview the new Key of David program for this weekend. And the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury. And we'll also talk about some things that have happened on this day in history as well. Well, waking up, it was shocking headlines for everyone. The Dallas sniper attack, where officers were killed during a protest. Just thought we'd read some of the headlines. CNN.com, their headline this morning, Friday morning, Dallas sniper attack. Five officers killed during protests against police. Drudge Report, they have a couple of headlines. Black Lives protest turns massacre. Five cops shot dead in Dallas. Suspect wanted to kill white people. The end is coming. Those are pretty hard-hitting, but that's what they reported. Fox News had these headlines. Sniper open fire and kill at least five cops, wound six more. Gunman killed when police detonate his explosive device. Said he wanted to kill white officers. Three in custody. And then, of course, it's interesting because some of the other headlines then get into other topics, not totally related, but sort of being politicized. Another headline here from Fox News, Obama renews gun control push after senseless Dallas murders. And then looking at the Washington Post this morning, too, really interesting, the headlines that they have. They put up some of their top ones. And the first one, of course, is about the shooting, a heartbreaking morning. Snipers shoot 11 police officers in Dallas during protest rally, killing five. But then as you go down the headlines, the next one, two, three, four are all about police shooting people. And pretty inflammatory headlines. So it is just interesting to see, in the wake of a tragedy, some of these media outlets, I guess they would say they're just reporting what's happening. I think you could argue that the flames are being fanned a little bit here. I'm just kind of surprised to see some of the mixing of some of these headlines together. You think people might just take a step back and say, hang on, let's just maybe relax a little bit. But some of these headlines are still pretty inflammatory, even after a tragic shooting.
Right. This is one of the deadliest attacks ever on a police force. I think you mentioned this morning it's the second worst since 9/11.
Right. It's the worst. That's what they're reporting. The worst since 9/11. We all remember 9/11, and a lot of people lost their lives in that attack. So that tells you how serious this is.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge escalation just in the violence scale, but also just the methods too. It wasn't just it was well thought out, and from what it appears anyway. But yeah, it is interesting the take of the media that they don't really give a lot of space for even mourning for the families of those five officers, and they just move right into the hot political debates that are going on. And I mean, those things keep moving forward despite tragedies, but it is just an interesting dilemma that the nation's really descending into this week, especially because both sides have had, if you look at both sides of the political issue, both sides have had, have a lot of inflammatory rhetoric going back and forth and pretty tragic events for both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. And CNN, some of their headlines are interesting. Kind of unfortunate, I think, in some ways, considering this shooting. But they have one headline, and I won't get into all the details, but talks about a particular singer having a concert just last evening. Now, it wasn't in the country. It was somewhere else. And paying tribute to the two that were shot by the police this last week. And having a statement where this singer said, and pretty influential singer, talked about being sick and tired of killings in the young of the young men and women in our communities. It is up to us to take a stand and demand that they stop killing us. We're going to stand up as a community and fight against anyone who believes that murder or any violent action by those who are sworn to protect us should consistently go unpunished. You know, there might be a time to talk about some of those things. I don't know, but this is I just think it's an unfortunate time to have something like this up on one of those main websites, you know, and it was probably posted before anything happened, but it's still up there, at least at the time of looking at it. And so you would hope that in the wake of a terrible tragedy, everyone would calm down a little bit, but it doesn't seem like that's happening. And we're all going pretty much to the same basic media outlets. There's only so many of them that kind of report on these things. And they have a lot of power in their hands. And what they report, how they report it. So we were talking yesterday about some of these headlines and just saying, well, let's hope it simmers down and just kind of, you know, everyone kind of relax a little bit and try to come to some solution without it becoming more serious. And then you wake up and you see these headlines today, and it's definitely not, hasn't simmered down yet.
Yeah, it's it is, I think, should cause some reflection on for everyone in America, because it's divided by crisis. It's in fact making us even more divided, and also for the media and influential people who make a lot of comments and just maybe reflect on where their words are leading people. Because even that singer, she talks about fighting, standing up, pretty violent language. I don't think they probably don't intend to mean physical violence, but we had those shooters last night that said, well, they want to kill white police officers, all these different things. So, I mean, even though if you don't have the intent for those words to motivate people, I mean, what do you expect to happen when you're just allowing these words to float around the nation? I mean, people are going to react to that, and I mean, I'm sure their actions aren't a result of people saying those things necessarily, but still, it just creates an environment that's just toxic, and is just very irresponsible. Because how are those the families on both sides supposed to feel when you have this rhetoric flying back and forth of people who, let's face it, don't really know what they're talking about most of the time?
Yeah. And are they going to take responsibility for those types of, you know, that rhetoric if something does happen? Probably not. Some of the details are coming out about some of the officers who were killed. The first one was identified recently. He was a Marine, grandfather, and he was a newlywed, just been married a couple of weeks. He was the first of the murdered Dallas police officers to be identified. And he was a newly married grandfather, former U.S. Marine, and a veteran police officer who had gone to Iraq and Afghanistan to help train local police. His name was Brent Thompson. He died protecting the rights of fellow Americans, they say. The 43-year-old Thompson, who joined the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Police Department in 2009, was the first identified of the five city police killed in a coordinated sniper attack Thursday night in a protest against police brutality. The other names, as well as several who were wounded, will be released here throughout the weekend, they expect. This is, as we mentioned, the nation's deadliest day for law enforcement since 9/11. And that really kind of struck me when I read that about it, 9/11, because in the media, sometimes you hear about the threat of domestic terrorism. And it's usually kind of portrayed as, well, they kind of have a certain portrayal of what that might be. But in any event, this is certainly domestic terrorism. I mean, that's absolutely what it is. There's nothing else that you could call it. But I haven't. It'd be interesting to see if anyone uses that term in talking about this. I don't think they will. But what else do you call it? It's a terror attack.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a nation is seriously in trouble when the second deadliest attack on its own on police officers is from its own people. I mean, 9/11 was a terrorist attack by a Islamic terrorist organization, and it killed thousands of people, a lot more than the Dallas attack. But when you just think about the second deadliest attack is at the hands of your own people, and when your own city is just on a Thursday night, I mean, that's that there's some serious reflection and introspection here to figure out why that is, because something is seriously wrong with your nation if the deadliest acts of violence are committed by your own people. And not even that man, he survived Iraq and Afghanistan, but he died in his own country.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, it's Dallas. It's Dallas on a Thursday night. I mean, we're not that far from Dallas here at the KPCG studios. I mean, it's about 3 hours, I guess. You get on 35 and head down there. We've all been to Dallas multiple times, I'm sure, driven through there. And so, you know, it starts hitting close to home. And it's, you know, Dallas is a large enough city, but it's not New York. It's not Chicago. It's not L.A. But you're still, you know, we saw that happen there. So, you know, that in and of itself, I thought was somewhat surprising as well. Not that you ever expect this, but typically it would be in an even bigger city, but to have it be in Dallas, which is a little more medium, just really interesting. So as these details come out about who these people were, these officers, you know, they had families. I don't know who they all were. Of course, we just know this person at this time, but, you know, you'd imagine there's children involved and that type of thing. And so it is really interesting. And I too, also the president, of course, addressed it, made some comments this morning. And I think he was over in, it was Poland or somewhere over in the...
Yes, I think that's where the NATO summit is.
Yeah, so, and he had two other international leaders there on either side of him. I didn't quite see who they were. But I just thought, wow, that's a really bad look, isn't it, for the U.S., where you're at this international summit and you have to stop. And we're supposed to be kind of the beacon of freedom, right, in the world and of a free society. And you have to stop there and address citizens, we assume, murdering other citizens, even though the identities of everybody haven't been brought out. But yeah, that just does not look good for America on the international stage.
Yeah, I mean, it lowers the credibility of the nation for sure, because you're supposed to be the leader of world security. I mean, NATO talking about national security of Europe against terrorism, against Russia, against all these different threats, and then you can't even control your own nation. You can't even keep your own people safe. Especially the nature of the attacks, I think, is also significant, because we've seen terrorist attacks many this year, and at the end of 2015 by ISIS and other groups. With this one, I mean, was very successful, unfortunately, in that sense. But it was committed by your own people. And I think that's just something that will resonate with a lot of people around the world, that there's a lot of problems. And I just saw this interesting tweet from Max Boot. He's an author and he's a journalist. And he just points out that in Dallas, there's just a long history of sniping, I guess, with JFK assassination, then the 1966 clock tower killing at the University of Texas, and right, now this. And it actually happened near where JFK was shot. So, yeah, it's just interesting bit of information I saw. But, yeah, just a pretty violent history there.
Yeah, really tragic day. And, of course, more will come out about this, I'm sure, as time progresses. And so there'll be more to look at there. We were talking about the media and how what they choose to report is really interesting. Just want to put in a plug for thetrumpet.com. That is, of course, the website of the Philadelphia Church of God, same group that sponsors KPCG. And there's a lot written over the years. You can go back into the archives and search on this topic. I mean, you can search about police. You can search about, you know, the anti-police movement. You can search race relations. You can search all kinds of different topics that are related to this. And you're going to find, you know, year after year after year, just articles. I just did a quick search and, you know, hundreds of results came back, articles all the way back into, you know, the 90s, the 2000s, and more recently, of course. And it's interesting looking at some of the headlines and remembering some of those events that have occurred over the last, you know, several years, whether it's with the police, whether it's with racial issues. So there's a lot written there. It's a great time to go back and check some of that because there's so much noise, I guess, as they would call it, in the media about what's happening and perspectives and all of that. And it's good to get grounded. And because at the Trumpet, it is based on God's word, on Bible prophecy. So you get the news, but you also get that base perception or base perspective of a good foundation there. So make sure you go and check out thetrumpet.com. Of course, the Trumpet Hour Week in Review program is coming up throughout the weekend. There'll be a lot discussed there. I'm sure this will be part of it. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show, we'll talk about that in a minute. More specifically, that addressed it today. And the Trumpet Weekly Report, which is a free report you can get. It's a PDF that gets sent to your email inbox every Friday. Sign up for that at thetrumpet.com as well. So when these things happen, you know, you can get some good insight into it right away. And so take some time if you have some and go check out thetrumpet.com and look at some of those articles from the past. You know, a lot's been written. It's not like we're not the Johnny Come Latelys here as far as these events are concerned. There's a lot that's been written about it over the years that you can go back and check out. And I thought it was interesting, too, events like this, today's shooting, or if you go back a couple of weeks to when Brexit happened, it just really, to me, highlights the importance and the significance of certainly the Trumpet, but Trumpet Radio, KPCG as well. And because events like this happen and you can turn on the station and pretty much, especially with the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, you're going to get insight into it right away. You know, you don't have to wait. You can get insight into it right away. And so that's what we did this morning. You know, we we work here, but we get that live feed from Edstone, England, and you get up, you check your headlines, and then let's see what's on the Trumpet Daily today radio show. And it's immediate, and there's really good insight into it. And one of the benefits that they have from being over in England is they've got a few more hours to kind of really gather things because it airs at 7 a.m. live here Central Standard Time. But, of course, over there it's later in the day, so they've got a few hours to really gather more information. The program today had a lot of sound bites in it. It was, you know, really well prepared, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But I thought it was important to just sit back and think about the importance of that immediacy of the message, because there are so many things happening, and you know, you don't want to have to wait too long to find out about, you know, what the perspective should be on some of those things. So KPCG.fm, of course, a lot of live listeners there. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. We have archives at KPCG.fm, so you can go back and listen to the program if you missed it. And with the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, their numbers as far as listens have really, really jumped because these news events are happening so quickly. And so I think the radio is always great to have, as well as the websites and all of that. But when you get into breaking news and things that are happening, and they're happening more and more frequently, it's just great to have the station so that people can get the message right away.
Yeah, they this. Going over when I got home last night, all the headlines are coming over social media, and they say that 90% of the information that passes over social media during amidst of a breaking news is false, just because people make their own assessments, they make claims that aren't true, that sort of thing. So it is hard to sift through what's true, what's not, and it does take time for the full facts to come out. But with KPCG is a little different because we can use the Bible, and especially Trumpet Daily, Trumpet Hour, they rely on Bible prophecy to analyze the events, and that's something that's always there. It's timeless. We have articles that predict what even happens before it does. And so you get that analysis right away. They don't necessarily need all the details to come up before giving you the general trend, the overall perspective. That's very important because the big thing is to know where this is heading. And that's really what KPCG can provide right away is the bearing on where these events are leading us.
Right, and there's such a good archive of material there, and at thetrumpet.com that even can be pulled and used for a lot of the radio programs, because that information has been talked about for a long time. So I don't know. A lot of times, I guess it's not good to toot your own horn, but sometimes you have to.
Right,
and I just think that that's one of the things that makes the station very important is that as news breaks, you can get some really good perspective on it right away. And, of course, at thetrumpet.com as well. And so we have a lot of listeners. We have listeners in Dallas that listen and, you know, all kinds of cities around the world. We were looking at some of the numbers and such yesterday, and we were looking at it for our program, for Trumpet Radio Live. And it was interesting because we put some of the segments on SoundCloud, and the city that downloads the most of our programs is Singapore, which I found surprising, but they were the second. They were the second most downloaded city. In most cases, it's U.S., Canada, and Australia, I guess. But then Singapore popped in there, so I thought, oh hey,
yeah,
we've got a fan base out there in Singapore. So good. Hello.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how to say hello in a different, you know, whatever language to.
Malaysian, I guess it would be. Hopefully I'm not wrong on that.
Yeah, I started saying that, and then I thought, I'm not sure exactly what language that would be. But obviously they listen to a lot of things in English as well. So, but anyway, it is a global reach that you can get with the radio station and with the website. So that's really important, especially on days when there's breaking news, as there has been today and over the last couple weeks. And I would assume that that's going to continue and it's going to even pick up. There'll be more and more things happening. It's so interesting because there's so much happening around the world, yet today, because of the tragedy there in Dallas, that takes all the headlines pretty much from all the websites. You have to go pretty far down to find out what's going on around the world, but there's a lot happening around the world as well. One of the things we mentioned was the Brexit that happened a few weeks ago and still having major impact. The Key of David program today, the audio here on KPCG.fm, which will be playing throughout the weekend, is a new program that that Gerald Fleury taped, I guess, a week ago. And it is on this topic, Britain Leaves the EU. Britain's choice to leave the European Union is sending shockwaves around the globe. No one knew for certain whether Britain would leave Europe, or did they? Herbert Armstrong did. He prophesied that many, many years ago. And he has lots of great quotes in there proving that. I mean, it's public record. He's out there saying it. So, of course, that's a huge thing, obviously, in light of what's happening here in Dallas. That kind of, I guess, goes back in people's minds a little bit further because this other thing is so immediate. But hugely important, and make sure you listen to that. If you'd like to see the video, you can do that at thetrumpet.com as well. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show, make sure you listen for that. We were talking about how they are able to get on the breaking news very quickly, Stephen Fleury and those helping him from Edstone, England. And he talked about this horrific event in Dallas. Five Dallas police officers are dead and six injured from a deadly ambush that happened Thursday night in Dallas. During a Black Lives Matter protest, snipers specifically targeted police officers and triangulated their positions to lay down more deadly fire on their targets, which I'm assuming takes some knowledge. You'd have to know how to go about that and have a plan for it. Stephen Fleury talks about how this comes days after two black men were shot by white police officers and in the midst of a new wave of protests. And as we were even talking about with the headlines today, if you look on a lot of the different websites, especially those that are probably lean a little more on the liberal side, the Dallas shooting is top, but then you start looking below that and it's all about these protests and some pretty inflammatory headlines too. The violence in America is escalating. This is a dangerous turning point in racial tensions. And, you know, I don't know how people felt today, but I know that when I saw the headlines, it just made me kind of stop and just sit there for a second. And you know, you have to read it again and think, is this really happening? You know, of course, the Trump's been talking about these things for quite some time, but when you see things explode like this, it puts me back on my heels a little bit.
Yeah, this morning I was just looking at different video clips of the news coverage. I saw a few last night, but not too many. But I was watching one from Fox, and they were showing the protests in Dallas and New York City because they happened at the same time. And they caught when everything started in Dallas, and they showed some police officers that were wounded on the ground, and the news anchors didn't really know what to say because they were shocked, and the situation was chaotic. They didn't know what was going on, but I think that's how most people feel. And it takes a little while to figure out some what to say and how to think about it, because it is just shocking that the scale of it and how it was conducted, and they would happen in, I mean, things like this have happened before, but it's just different nowadays with the tensions, the escalation. It's just the atmosphere is different. The circumstances are different. And you could just really see the fire building in society because of all the situations that are going on with racial tension and the different political debates, just everything.
Yeah, it's terrifying to think about what happens when the police aren't there anymore. You know, if they say, look, we're not going to go down to this part of the city because we're going to get shot, or we're not, you know, I don't know what exactly will happen with those things, but certainly if you were an officer, it would give you some pause to think about your career. And but then what happens? Then who takes over? Scary to think about. The Trump Daily Radio Show also talked about, Stephen Fleury talks about how the media have been reporting on the deaths of the black men and have been completely misrepresenting a lot of the facts. President Obama has been only making the situation worse by giving just minimal support to law enforcement and most of the time pinning the blame on them racist institutions, I guess, would probably be the way it's brought up. Racial tensions are running away from the control of law enforcement and from the federal government, and all of these troubles are the result of our sins, and punishment is prophesied to come because of that. So it does get back to just lawlessness in general, and we do see a lot of that just in the country. So it really is really, really important Trump a Daily Radio Show today. I mean, they always are, but this one in particular because of the events. Somebody has the courage to say something about it in from a biblical perspective, which you don't get a lot of that. You don't get it anywhere. So other than here. So make sure that you listen for this Trump a Daily Radio Show. And if you can't, catch one of the replays throughout the weekend, you can just download the archive at kpcg.fm and listen to it on the smart device of your choice. So that's an important program to listen to. Make sure you listen for that. Also, the Trumpet Hour Week in Review program that'll be coming up this weekend. Make sure you listen for that as well. And the New Key of David. We don't want to forget about how important Brexit is, even as we see some things kind of spinning out of control here in the U.S. cities. So all that this weekend, make sure you listen for those programs. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and take a look at a few events that have happened on this day in history. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG And we're live online at kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG is produced by the Philadelphia Church of God. The Philadelphia Church of God also produces the Key of David television program. The Key of David is presented by Gerald Fleury and airs on Sunday mornings on networks around the world. It is also available online on YouTube, podcasts, and at keyofdavid.com. On the Key of David, Gerald Fleury analyzes world news and matches current events to Bible prophecy. More information can be found at keyofdavid.com.
Welcome back to Trumpet Radio Live 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link there at thetrumpet.com as well. And you can follow us on Twitter if you'd like to, at kpcgfm. And we send out some tweets about programs that we have here at the station, a few other things from time to time. And also, you can send us any comments, questions, or ideas, concerns, whatever you have, to comments at kpcg.fm. We appreciate those. Dwight Falk and Abraham Blondeau with you here today on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live. And Abraham, you've got a Twitter poll that you conducted, some other big news throughout the week that people are forgetting about, I guess, but was Hillary Clinton and whether or not she was going to be indicted. So you have a poll that you conducted about that. What's the poll and what are the results?
Yeah, this is the big news that has been pushed down in light of the events that have happened in the last few days. And this is about the FBI decision not to indict her. And the question was, what is your opinion of the FBI decision to recommend not charging Hillary Clinton? And this is over the her private email server and how she handled the sensitive materials there. So I gave them three options. First was it was a fair conclusion, so that the FBI made the right choice. Second was it was completely wrong. And the third was it doesn't matter. And it had 220 votes, so quite a bit of participation. And it was an overwhelming majority believe that 90% that the FBI was completely wrong. So 90% of those people think that different actions should have been taken. 8% thought it didn't matter. And 2% thought that it was a fair conclusion. So I think that is pretty telling on how most people probably feel about it, just because it is a somewhat ridiculous situation just in terms of trying to pull a thin veneer of excuses to have her not indicted over things where she's clearly been lying or put national security at risk. So it's an interesting situation, but we'll see what happens with the Republican panel and how they're trying to move towards I think having your security revoked, security privileges revoked.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think she's actually in a really vulnerable position, because clearly it's a little bit fishy, to say the least. And I think that poll is a good indication of how most people feel. I think most people think, well, something's not right about this. And so even though she's kind of allowed to go on, that could easily be changed if somebody wanted to, I don't know, call some things to light and had the power to do it, I suppose. So who knows? It'll be interesting to see what does happen there, but I do think it is fairly precarious for her in a lot of ways, because there is so much about it that seems a little strange. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot of headlines. I mean, there's so much going on in the news, but then other major things happen and the stories kind of get pushed down, but they're still important as well. Today is July 8th, and here are some of the things that have happened on this day in history. And, you know, before we get into this, it just reminds me of, you know, today will be one of those days. You know, we'll look back on it in a year and say, oh, you remember on July 8th when the killings happened in Dallas?
Right.
We get more and more of these days piling up, and not in good ways. 1099 on this day, Christian soldiers on the First Crusade marched around Jerusalem. There's a bloody history there of those crusades, and there's going to be one more. But you know, you were even just telling me here a moment ago there was a headline you just saw about Germany and Iran. When they were talking about Germany warning them over their nuclear program, was that it?
Yeah, their domestic intelligence agency warned that Iran has been pursuing acquiring nuclear technology, even within Germany, and they cited that there have been 141 attempts this year of Iran and Iranian companies trying to acquire goods in the field of nuclear technology. And they're just a little shocked that it's so blatant, especially in the wake of the Iran deal. And they said if it doesn't stop, then Germany and other nations will have to revisit sanctions. So it is interesting that it is Germany that's calling the warning here, and not America or other people. And they even have discussions with Israel's ambassador in Germany as well about the situation.
Wow. That does tie in because of the Crusades being those battles between European Catholicism and Islam. And so at least that being a major part of it. So those two powers, again, are starting to get into it a little bit. And if you know much about King of the North, King of the South, that's talked about at the trumpet a lot, that'll pique your interest quite a bit. 1608, on this day, the first French settlement at Quebec was established by Samuel de Champlain. So big day for Canadians there. And you usually have a pin or something to commemorate it, but today you've got nothing.
Well, some days should be commemorated more than others. I'll just leave it at that.
I'm not familiar with all the squabbling between the different areas in Canada.
Well, I mean Samuel de Champlain, he's a very famous explorer in Canada. I remember learning about him in school all the time, but it did set up this because the French were first in Canada, but Britain won it in the war. But some of the French people were allowed to remain. So you have this cultural clash because neither wants to become the other, and both want to hold on to their different religions because one's Protestant, one's Catholic, and then also just completely different ways of conducting society. So it's always been a bit of a rivalry. And although my last name is French, I'm from Western Canada, so I don't have any association with Quebec at all.
You're stuck in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it does highlight the fact that as nations try to get different nationalities and blend them all together, very rarely does it work. There's divisions, and that does happen a lot. 1693 on this day, this one is sort of sadly ironic. Uniforms for police in New York City were authorized. So that happened on this day, real close to those terrible shootings in Dallas. So it was kind of interesting that it was a similar day. 1709, on this day, Peter the Great defeated Charles XII in the Ukraine. The Swedish Empire was effectively ended. So sad day for me because I'm predominantly Swedish.
Right.
So it was the end of the empire for me. I wasn't around at the time. I don't think the Swedes are known as empire builders, but
yeah, they had that one brief time, and I just like saying his name, Gustavus Adolphus.
It's a great name.
He was one of the major military leaders. He actually started the big reformation of modern military organization during the Seven Years' War. He was the one who did it for Sweden. So people don't know. When people think of Sweden, they don't necessarily think of a great military power, but they were for a little while. And
you think of the Muppet, the Swedish chef,
right?
That guy.
Yeah.
I can say that because I am predominantly Swedish. But yeah, Gustavus Adolphus. If you and I start a music group, that'll be our name. We'll go with
right.
that. That's a great. That would be a great band name.
Yeah, acoustic tambourine.
Yeah, as opposed to the electric tambourine. 1755 on this day, Britain broke off diplomatic relations with France as their disputes in the New World intensified. So Yeah, it kind of had some proxy wars in a way there, and battles in the New World. And so it is interesting to see that, because that happens today where, like, say, Syria, you have different nations in the mix there and kind of fighting little proxy wars.
Right. It's the same as the Cold War. Soviet and America would back different sides and to fight against each other to gain influence over an area. In the back then, it was a little more open. It was pretty obvious, but yeah, it was. It's the exact same methods. We get slightly more sophisticated over time, but it's essentially the same thing.
1776 on this day, Colonel John Nixon gave the first public reading of the U.S. Declaration of Independence to a crowd at Independence Square in Philadelphia. That would have been quite a thing to be at, and get the reaction of people after they heard that. See if they were paying attention.
Yeah, actually, last night I watched Patriot with some friends, and I will say that that movie is grossly inaccurate historically, but it does, I think, somewhat capture the feeling of the time. That's it would have been amazing to be contemporaries with those great men of that time, not just the founding fathers, but even some of the lesser known men who did really made a difference. And have the famous sayings, give me liberty, give me death. He was a doctor in Boston. And all these just different events that really are hallmarks of American history would have been really interesting.
1865 on this day, sort of an infamous event. C.E. Barnes patented the machine gun that changed warfare forever. You know, you see those old movies, I guess, because there's not footage of it, but of people battling with, say, muskets, things like that. It takes a while to load the next round in there, but the next shot. But machine gun, obviously, you can fire off quite a few bullets. It did change the warfare. World War One was all these wars. You see these different technological advancements. You see machine guns. You see tanks. You see airplanes, and then ultimately you see, atomic bombs. And so it just escalated to the point where you could go from killing one to multiple to wiping out cities. That's the advancement of technology. It's like Herbert Armstrong wrote about a lot, that paradox: more knowledge, but also more problems because of it.
Right. Yeah, I think this was really when science started dominating the battlefield, in the sense that became the point where masses of humanity couldn't always win the day. And American Civil War proved that, and so did the World War One especially, and did show a big change in how we conduct warfare. I mean, just an example, a musket, so how men were fighting for over 200 years with gunpowder. It takes about 90 seconds for you to load a new musket ball if the circumstances are perfect, if you do everything perfectly. So 90 seconds between one shot and the other, that gives the other guy, I mean, if you could look, both sides were trying to reload in time to fire off the next volley. Nowadays, U.S. soldiers and anyone with a automatic assault rifle, you can fire off, or with a machine gun, fire off 200 rounds in a minute.
Well,
I mean, some are many more than that, but just in a standard issue machine gun. So, I mean, just completely different, revolutionizes how and also human costs as well, where it's just skyrocketed.
Yeah. Yeah, really an advancement in some ways, but not in a lot of ways as well. 1881 on this day, this one's a little happier, and it comes from Wisconsin, of course, where I'm from. Originally, Edward Berner, he was a druggist in Two Rivers, Wisconsin. On this day, for the first time in history, apparently, and I don't know how you would know this, but he poured chocolate syrup on ice cream in a dish. Before then, they had just mixed it in with making ice cream sodas. But he said, you know what? I'm just going to pour it on the ice cream and see what happens in the dish. And we're still doing it to this day.
That's right.
So those are always kind of funny to me, because I'm like, well, how do you know that's the first time somebody ever did that? How did it get recorded and then passed along? That to me is more interesting than the fact that he poured some sauce on a thing. I mean, surely somebody before then said, you know, even accidentally, they just spilled it. What are you going to do with this? Well, don't throw it away. Just eat it. You know, hey, that's pretty good. I don't know. But, yeah. Hey, I'd rather be known for inventing that than, like, a weapon of some kind, I guess.
Right, yeah. It's he made children's lives better across the world with that invention. But, yeah, it is funny just, obviously, some people aren't the first to do something, but if the first to claim it, then they are in the history books anyway, because we can't record everything that happens. So
right. Thankfully. 1889, on this day, the Wall Street Journal was first published. And they have some pretty good write-ups. You see some pretty good write-ups from them from time to time. A little more in-depth reporting, I think, than some others. But that was 1889 was the first published. Also in 1889, this one is kind of befuddling. John L. Sullivan defeated Jake Kilran in the last championship bare knuckle fight. The fight lasted 75 rounds. 75 rounds. Boxing matches today are what, 12 rounds at the most?
10, yeah, 10 or 12.
10 or 12, I can't remember. If they actually get that far, which they often don't.
Yeah.
Because, and this is bare knuckle. I mean, that punch will do a lot more damage.
Yeah, I think that's, we calculate that too. That's,
it's over 300 minutes.
Yeah, it's about 36 hours or something like that.
Was it that much? Yeah, well, and again, I don't know exactly if their rounds were different back then, like in terms of duration.
Right.
But no matter what it was, I don't care. I don't care if it was a minute, you know, that's a lot of moving about. And because a lot of times it's the hits obviously add up in terms of the damage, but just people get so tired to fight for that long. That just doesn't seem right.
Well, and bare knuckle fighting too. I mean, when you box, you have the gloves on to protect yourself and the other person too, but it gives you the ability to punch longer, because we've all probably punched something and it hurts like crazy.
Yeah.
It hurts you almost as much as the other person if you don't punch properly. So they're doing it for 75 rounds. I mean, probably a lot of it is ducking and weaving, and probably not just like standing there and just heaving blows on each other.
Yeah, but still, that moving around, that's a long time to do that.
Yeah.
And you're right. A lot of times, I think, you know, we see a movie and a guy is able to just be punching like crazy and it doesn't affect him. And then in real life, people get hurt. That happened even last year with one of the NBA players, who shall remain nameless. He he got mad at his friend, I guess, and he punched him, but he broke his own hand. And, you know, he was out for quite some time. So that happens. I mean, you can't just go around hitting things.
Yeah.
Because it'll hurt you as well. So it's not like the movies.
Yeah, it's not Rocky Balboa where he's invincible.
Poor Rocky, he got hit so many times. He went about 75 rounds.
Yeah.
And just kept getting hit in the head, but somehow he came back. 1947, on this day, demolition work began in New York City for the new permanent headquarters for the United Nations. Oh, nothing's permanent. For now, anyway. 1950, on this day, General Douglas MacArthur was named Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Forces in Korea. And, of course, he was very... We have a booklet about him on thetrumpet.com. We've had our last chance, which he made that statement, I think, after World War II, and he realized, if we can't start having peace, we're going to kill each other because the weapons are too powerful now. 1963, on this day, all Cuban-owned assets in the United States were frozen, and, of course, relations, I guess, have been normalized with them. At least we've tried to. They're not happy with us, but... So I don't know if people have gotten their assets back or not yet. But anyway, it might be something for somebody to look at. 1969, the U.S. Patent Office issued a patent for the game Twister. So there you go. I guess you'd have to patent it. I've never played it myself, but I've seen it. It's a mat, and you're supposed to move around on it or something.
I've tried playing it once. But I realize that if you don't have reasonable flexibility, you will lose. So
it's not going to work.
No. So I just avoided it ever since.
1997. You don't see a lot of games like that at, say, nursing homes. You're not going to see a lot of the older people getting out. Retirement centers.
Yeah.
1997, on this day, NATO invited Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic to join the alliance in 1999. So they had a couple of years to do that. And we're going to take a look at some of the history of NATO in light of this event.
Yeah, actually, this is in the news, too, because President Obama is at NATO summit where they're discussing strategy. And I think this is also important to reflect on NATO and contrast it with the EU army, which is being presented, because the only reason there hasn't been an EU army is because of NATO. United States strategy was specifically to anchor Europe and European nationalism to a separate element outside of Europe. So like a figure like Hitler or some other nationalist leader couldn't raise up an army and conquer Europe again. And that separate element was United States involvement in Europe. But since then, we've seen the exact opposite happen, where NATO's been is falling apart because of lack of commitments from the nations and lack of leadership, really, from the United States. And so Europe is turning elsewhere. And I think this is interesting as well, because this was a big push to the east, and this really started infringing on Russia's traditional role in the region, because Poland is the, that's right near the border of Russia. There's Belarus, but Belarus is essentially a Russian satellite even at this time. But this really was an aggressive move, because Poland and is always an integral part of Germany. And Russia, it's the buffer between the two big powers there in Europe. So getting it on the side of NATO instead of Russia was a big strategic victory for the West. And then they continued pushing. In 2004, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania all joined NATO as well. And that's pushing right onto the border of Ukraine. So you can see why Putin, when he came to power, was quite concerned about this. Because with NATO and their involvement in the Balkans in the late 1990s, because for Russia, that's a matter of national security, is who has control of this pan-European plane that marches right on into Moscow. So with NATO here, it's a big battle over positioning. And NATO was winning. There was a clear buffer between the big Western states and Russia. But now that's all disintegrating. And these other states are clearly in danger. I mean, there's been some charts coming out showing NATO. NATO's building up the forces in Eastern Europe, but Russia still outnumbers them, I think, almost 10-1 still with troops that are on the border. So it poses a big threat. And if NATO's not going to do anything, especially for Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, these smaller nations, either they have to go back to Russia or they have to join this new EU army.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that continues to progress. And of course, Europe is becoming more unified now with Brexit. At least they're moving in that direction. Of course, there's been some reports. We talked about on the Trumpet Hour Week in Review program last week about this European army that they're trying to put together, they're talking about. And NATO has not been effective. But that's one of the, I guess, you know, it's that idea that if everyone kind of gets together, maybe we can have this global government that'll keep everything in check. But the nations have their own agendas, and NATO hasn't been a very effective force, except for probably the Balkans, where Germany used that NATO power, mostly U.S. power, to divide Yugoslavia in that region. So a lot of dissatisfaction out there with NATO. And, you know, would you trust a NATO force to protect you? Again, if you're one of those European nations that's right up there with Russia, like right on the border, they'd probably be a little nervous. Because like you say, I mean, just size-wise.
Well, especially since NATO let Ukraine. Ukraine's a member of NATO, and they just let... Oh, sorry, they're not. But they're associated with it, and U.S. had a treaty with them. right. security treaty, and they just let Russia walk all over them.
Right. Yeah. And people remember that. I mean, if you are counting on somebody to take care of you and they don't, then you do start thinking about, well, we got to arm ourselves, you know, and have our own military. So pretty interesting, some of that history there with NATO. And again, it's weakening while you see a new push, a strong push for a European military. So that'll be interesting to see how that progresses. There's a lot about that at thetrumpet.com you can read about. 1997 on this day, NATO invited Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic to join the alliance in 1999. That'll do it for us on Trumpet Radio Live. Myself, Dwight Falk, and Abraham Blondeau, have a great weekend, and make sure you keep it here on KPCG. Lots of great programming coming up. Key of David program, a new one on the Brexit. Trumpet Daily Radio Show, very important about the recent shootings there, police shootings in Dallas. And so there'll be a lot more information, I'm sure, coming out about that, but you really need to hear this Trumpet Daily Radio Show and the Trumpet Hour Weekend Review as well. Thanks for joining us here this week. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.